Well, good morning to all of you. It certainly is a wonderful opportunity to be here with you today. If you're a regular member here, of course, we're glad to see you. And if you're a visitor, we are especially glad to see you. We hope that you'll be touched, you'll be changed, you'll be helped in some way in your walk with Jesus as a result of your choosing to be here today. Thank you so much for being with us. I'm going to ask you to turn in the book of Deuteronomy to chapter 32. Deuteronomy 32. We'll begin reading there in just one second. If you are unfamiliar with the Bible, that is, is it the fourth or fifth book? It's the fifth book, right? This wasn't in my notes. I think it's the fifth book. It's right there. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. It's a fifth book. The fifth book of your Bible, we're going to begin reading there in just one second. But before we do that, I just want to ask you a simple question. Are you a careful Christian? Do you serve God carefully? Now, I think when we hear that, there's all kinds of different thoughts that go through our mind, but I think that's an important question to ask ourselves and an important question for us to know how we ought to answer. Are you careful in the way that you serve God? Deuteronomy 32, beginning in verse 45, we read this. The Bible says, "When Moses had finished speaking all these words to Israel, he said to them, 'Take to your heart all the words with which I am warning you today, which you shall command your sons to observe carefully, even all the words of this law, for it is not an idle word for you. Indeed, it is your life. And by this word, you will prolong your days in the land which you are about to cross the Jordan to possess.'" The word Deuteronomy means second law. And it has that name because this, in this book, it is the second time that the law of Moses is given to the people. And so the book of Deuteronomy is the second giving of the law. Except this time it's a little bit special because this time, instead of the law just being given to the people, this time the law is preached to the people. And so what you find in the entire book of Deuteronomy is Moses preaching to the children of Israel, and he is trying to do everything he can, not just to repeat all the laws that God had given them, but to passionately persuade them to keep the laws that God had given them. And here in chapter 32, we're at the end of his thoughts. He's bringing his sermon to a close, which I guarantee you was longer than 30 minutes. And this is how he ends his thoughts. "I want you to make sure that you observe God's law carefully. When you serve God, you ought to serve Him carefully." And I think that's an important thing to point out because that becomes, or it was, one of the main themes of Moses' sermon. One of the things that he comes back to time and time and time again throughout this lesson is, hey, when you serve God, you need to be really careful when you do it. And so in Deuteronomy chapter 4 and verse 14, at the beginning of this sermon, it says, "The Lord commanded me at that time to teach you the statutes and judgments that you might perform them in the land where you're going over to possess it. So watch yourselves carefully, since you did not see any form on the day the Lord spoke to you at Horeb from the midst of the fire." The next chapter over, Deuteronomy 5 and verse 1, it says, "Then Moses summoned all Israel and said to them, 'Hear, O Israel, the statutes and the ordinances which I am speaking today in your hearing, that you may learn them and observe them carefully.'" The next chapter, Deuteronomy 6 and verse 3, something a little famous, "O Israel, you shall listen and be careful to do it, that it may be well with you and that you may multiply greatly, just as the Lord, the God of your fathers, has promised you, in a land flowing with milk and honey." And so you see from the very beginning of this sermon that Moses preaches, he says, hey, you guys need to be careful. You guys need to observe these laws carefully. You guys need to listen and learn and do everything you can to be careful when it comes to God's law. And you should probably know that by the time we get to chapter 6, Moses is really, he's just getting warmed up. I put this up here. I want you to be overwhelmed by this, okay? Because this idea of being careful and serving God carefully, it's not just in those three verses and at the end of the sermon. We also see it in Deuteronomy 8 in verse 1, in 11, 32. We see it in chapter 12, verse 1, chapter 12, verse 13, chapter 12, verse 19, chapter 12, verse 28, chapter 12, verse 32, chapter 15, verse 5, chapter 16, verse 12, 17, 10, 17, 19, 19, 9, 23, 23, 24, 8, 26, 16, 28, 1, 28, 13, 31 in verse 12, and then 32 in verse 46, like we just read. You need to be careful. Throughout this entire book, over and over and over again, 22 times in his farewell address, Moses tells the people that when you serve the living God of heaven, you do it carefully. Now, maybe it's important for me to take a moment and define what we mean by careful, because like we said, when you think about the idea of being careful, there are all kinds of different thoughts that might come to mind. And so let me make sure I clearly define what I mean or what Moses means when he says you need to serve God carefully. I want to make sure you understand that that does not mean, it does not mean that we're supposed to serve God with some kind of cowardice, right? And in some sense, that's what being careful can mean, right? You need to be careful. That means you need to make sure you don't do anything that might put you in danger or cause harm to your body. Be careful. And that's not at all what he means. In fact, sometimes if we really are disciples of Christ, that is going to bring danger and harm and loss into our lives. And we have to come to grips with that as Christians. I want you to appreciate that also. That does not mean that we serve God tentatively. And that's what careful can kind of mean as well, right? That you need to make sure that you never walk with God with any sort of conviction or firmness, that you need to make sure you never take any really strong stands. You need to be tentative. You need to be careful. And that is not at all what Moses means either. Sometimes as Christians, we have to stand firm. We have to hold that line. You got to stand up for what you believe in. The Bible teaches us that. And so I want you to understand that when Moses says you need to serve God carefully, it doesn't mean you do it with cowardice. It doesn't mean you do it tentatively. Instead, what he's saying is, look, when you serve God, it's not something you do mindlessly. It's not something you do half-heartedly. It is not something you do lackadaisically. The point is that we should not be careless in how we approach God. But that when we serve him, we ought to be thoughtful and sober and focused and thorough and, yeah, even meticulous when we come before him. We ought to pay great attention to everything that we do in our lives and be intently focused on, to the best of our ability, doing as good as we can to please him in every aspect of our lives. Moses says, look, when you serve God, you need to serve him carefully. And I wonder, is that how you would describe the way that you serve God? Would you call yourself a careful Christian? If I asked you today, if you called yourself a Christian, I came up to you and said, I want you to describe to me in three words the way that you serve God. Is that one of the words that would come to mind? Hey, I really want you to know that I'm careful. If I asked you to describe, hey, how do you worship God? Or if I said, hey, how do you study your Bible? How do you read your Bible? If I asked you how you obey God or how you fulfill your role as a spouse, as a parent, as a child, is that one of the first things you would say? I'm really careful. If I asked you to tell me how you serve God, would you use that word? And the truth is, probably not. That's probably not the first word that would come to our minds when we think about how we want to be described in our service to God. There are a bunch of other words that we'd much rather be described by, right? If someone were to ask me, Jonathan, tell me how you serve God, I would much rather somebody say of me, oh, Jonathan, he's passionate, or he's deep, or he's intense, or radical, or smart, or busy, or active, or involved, or generous, or friendly, or warm. I don't know if the first thing that comes to my mind would say, I want people to describe me as careful. The truth is, we don't often praise or talk about the virtue of carefulness in our walk with God. In fact, let's just be honest. In some circles, in some religious circles, that idea of being careful, it has a negative connotation, doesn't it? The idea of being meticulous or thorough in making sure that you keep the commands of God, that's almost seen negatively in some religious circles. That's not what you want to be. You don't want to be meticulous, right? In fact, some people would say that's exactly what got the Pharisees in trouble. They were too careful. Careful Christianity really isn't in style, is it? In fact, think about it. We asked that question at the very beginning. Are you a careful Christian? Do you serve God carefully? How did that word strike you when you had no context for it, right? When you first heard that idea, are you a careful Christian? Did you just instantly in your mind think negatively about that word? Careful Christianity really isn't in style. And I think there are a couple reasons for that. I think there are two myths that our culture pushes about the idea of being a careful Christian. And I think these myths, if we believe them, they totally undermine everything that Moses is trying to tell the people in Deuteronomy chapter 32. And so I want to show you those myths, and I want to debunk those myths with you this morning. Two myths about being a careful Christian that I think Moses would want us to debunk. And the first one is this. One myth that our culture pushes is that carefulness is not something that God cares very much about. That is the going notion of our day, isn't it? That God doesn't care too much about carefulness. And when you take a glance at our culture, you might see what I see, that in terms of religious things, we really don't believe that God wants us to be careful, and we really are, in some ways, increasingly careless. And that's why often when you want to talk about Bible things with somebody, nobody is opening up the Word of God and actually reading Scripture. We're just talking about our own thoughts that come from our own minds, that come from social media or YouTube or whatever. We don't open up the Word of God and talk about what's in there. And that's why whenever you bring up difficult things or try to address a difficult subject with somebody, often instead of saying, oh, that's a good Bible verse, let me show you another Bible verse in response, they say things like, come on, do you really think God cares about that? What is that a sign of? It's a sign that we really don't believe that God cares too much about carefulness. It's the reason why when you want to discuss difficult or controversial religious topics, instead of responding with arguments in Scripture, people respond by rolling their eyes and saying it doesn't really matter. When you look into our world, you see this myth all throughout it, that God doesn't really care too much about carefulness. Isn't that something you've seen in yourself sometimes? It's definitely something that I've seen in myself sometimes, that when we're tempted to believe that God just doesn't care too much about carefulness, that when you get deep into the details, that's not something God really wants us to do. People these days aren't very careful because we're convinced that God doesn't care too much about carefulness. And I want to make sure that you know that the Bible teaches very, very clearly that God does want us to serve Him carefully. He wants us to be careful and thoughtful and thorough and even meticulous in our service to Him. And if the fact that Moses tells us to be careful 22 times in the book of Deuteronomy isn't enough for you, then there are some other things that I want you to consider. I want you to consider that in Deuteronomy 32 in verse 47, look at what he says there. He says, look, it is not an idle word for you. Indeed, it is your life. Moses says, all of these stuff I've told you, all these laws I've given you, all the detailed things that I've just laid down for you, I want you to understand, this isn't idle stuff. This isn't empty stuff. This isn't stuff that you can ignore and cast off to the side and pretend like it doesn't matter. It's not empty. It all matters. In fact, Moses says it's not idle. Actually, it is your life. It is your life. And this is something that Moses knows personally, right? Because when Moses ends his sermon, he is going to go up to the top of Mount Nebo, and he is going to die and never get a chance to enter the promised land. And the scriptures tell us exactly why. It is because Moses was not very careful. Because back when they were wandering in the wilderness, God told Moses, I want you to speak to the rock, and he struck the rock instead. And for that reason, he dies on Mount Nebo and never gets to see the promised land because he wasn't very careful. We sit here in our day, in our society, and we say, God doesn't care too much about carefulness. But I tell you, if Moses was sitting here, if he was standing up here next to me, and you said, God doesn't care too much about carefulness, he'd put his arm around you. He'd probably squeeze your neck a little bit like your dad does when you're in trouble. And he'd say, look, let me tell you about what I learned from experience about what God thinks about carefulness. He says, it's not an idle word that God gives you. It is your life. Unless you think that's just an Old Testament kind of thing, look in the New Testament, look what our Lord says in Matthew 5, verse 18. He says, for truly I say to you, until heaven and earth passed away, not the smallest letter or stroke shall pass from the law until all is accomplished. Whoever then annuls one of the least of these commandments and teaches others to do the same shall be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever keeps and teaches them, he shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. Jesus says, look, all of these details matter. All of these laws matter. And anybody who comes to you and says, even the smallest, tiniest little detail in this law doesn't matter, he is least in the kingdom of heaven because it all matters. And yet we sit here today, and there are people out there teaching today that God doesn't care too much about the details. But Jesus tells us that even the smallest matters in the law matter. Now, some people may say, look, I know all that sounds great. I know Moses said it 22 times in the book of Deuteronomy. Whoop, you know, good for him. But I also know that in the book of Matthew, Jesus gets mad at the Pharisees because they were too careful in keeping the law. And I want you to appreciate that that's not true, even though that's what some people believe. Look at Matthew 23, verse 23. This is where many people believe that Jesus teaches we don't have to be that careful or we shouldn't be that careful. Listen to what he says. He says, woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you tithe mint and dill and cumin and have neglected the weightier provisions of the law, justice and mercy and faithfulness. But these are the things you should have done without neglecting the others. And so, yes, Jesus does say that there are some weightier matters in the law. And he does say that the Pharisees had neglected those weightier matters. But notice that he says at the end, these are the things you should have done without neglecting the others. I want you to appreciate that in this passage, Jesus is not condemning meticulous and thorough law keeping. He is condemning major law breaking. And so don't be duped. Don't be tricked. The Bible teaches us that God cares very much about carefulness, and that when we serve God, we ought to serve him carefully, thoughtfully, thoroughly. And this may be a really good time to simply stop and ask yourself the question. Am I being a little bit too careless in my service to God? Am I being as thoughtful and as thorough and as focused as I need to be? Because the truth is, we are marinating in an environment that tells us that we should be careless. And you need to ask yourself if that's having an effect on you. Are you serving God as carefully as you can? There's a second myth, though, that we need to talk about. And the second myth sounds something like this, that careful people are passionless people. I think this is another myth that many people believe, and maybe I'm totally wrong about this, but this is what I think, this is what I hear, this is what I see. That people believe and people are saying that those kinds of Christians that are meticulous and thoughtful, the ones who really pay attention to God's law, the ones who dig deep down into the word and they want to know the details and they want to get everything right, even though they understand we're never going to be perfect, they want to try their best to get everything right. Those people ultimately are not very passionate Christians. They're not very full of vigor and zeal. In fact, they often end up spiritually dead inside. I want you to think about that for a minute. If you think about it, I think you'll agree with me that that's something that our culture tends to believe about careful Christians, that careful Christians are not passionate Christians. In fact, we often associate carefulness with negative traits like judgmentalism and arrogance and self-righteousness. And so when we think about that idea of a careful Christian, that's the idea that people think about, right? They think, oh, that person's careful because they want to earn their salvation, because they think they're better than me, and they want to judge me. And that's all that careful Christians are. Be honest. For some of us, for some reason, the term careful Christianity or meticulous law-keeping, it instantly conjures up images of crotchety, judgmental church folks who are steeped in traditionalism, who are against everything and full of personal opinions, doesn't it? That's a myth that we believe. Or some people believe that careful people, careful Christians are passionless people. And I think this ultimately comes from Matthew 23 and verse 23 as well, where Jesus condemns the Pharisees for neglecting the weightier provisions of the law. And when we read that passage, if we misunderstand it, then we set up this false dilemma in our minds, a false dilemma that says, look, I've got one of two options. I can be a meticulous law-keeping Pharisee who is spiritually dead inside, or I can be a passionate servant who doesn't really focus on the details. And I have to choose one of those two things. Careful Christians are destined to be lukewarm, spiritually empty people, or so we're told. I want you to appreciate that not only is that idea unbiblical, it's irrational. Because I want you to appreciate that carefulness is a sign. It's not a sign of a lack of passion. It's actually a sign of great passion. And outside of a religious context, I think we all understand that, don't we? Even those of us here today who are a little messy, a little disorganized, a little lackadaisical about some things, and I'm using the word us, real, you know, go look at my office, it's not very clean. But as those of us who are a little bit more messy and disorganized, that we all have something in our lives that we are very careful about, don't we? Every single one of us, think about that for a second. No matter how messy you are, there's something that you are careful and meticulous about. And I think that says a lot about where our passion lies. In April of 2022, let's see if this works. Yes, there we go. Can y'all see that from back there? In April of 2022, my new grass was born. I'm proud father of new grass for almost 2 years now. But in one weekend, Leah and I, we ripped out all the old sod in my yard and my neighbor's yard, and we laid down all the new sod. It took 36 hours. It was probably the most miserable thing I've ever done in my entire life. And but we got it done with the help of our neighbors to the right and Joe Nations, who lives in our neighborhood and walked by and saw we were in over our heads and graciously volunteered a couple of hours that day when he saw the look in our eyes. But for nearly 2 years, I have tenderly cared for that grass, probably because it was such a miserable job and it took so much work. I have made sure to be extremely careful, to do everything I can to tenderly care for that grass. And so for the first couple of months, I had researched that there were gonna be lots of weeds in my grass. And so I spent lots of time every morning going out there and picking out every last weed out of that grass. I took a picture of this weed because I didn't know what it was. And I looked it up online and it actually said, look, if you got this weed, call a lawn service because you can't pull them out by yourself. Well, I did, I'm telling you that. And it was not easy. But I did all kinds of research and all kinds of stuff to figure out how to keep it alive and green and lush. I cut my grass and I trim it meticulously. It is something that I look forward to. It's not a chore in my book. I've even hired a lawn service now to come out and spray it and take care of it and make it green and everything like that. I send pictures of my grass to my brother-in-law and he sends me pictures back so we can compare lawns. We actually do that. And there's my grass right there. And to be honest, my heart breaks just a little bit, anytime somebody steps or rolls or rides their bike over it. Now, I have not lost perspective as a parent. I let people step on my grass. I'm not that guy. And I even let the neighborhood kids ride their bikes over my grass. I think we have a three-strike rule or something like that. I even let my family put three of those little Christmas inflatables in my yard, knowing full well that I wouldn't be able to mow for a month and all the grass underneath it would get gross and trampled and disgusting and I'd have to fix it later. But I let them do it. But don't you think that it wasn't on my mind every day? And so for 2 years, I have tenderly, carefully cared for my grass. You tell me, am I passionate about my grass or not? I find it so strange that some people look at careless, thoughtless, fly-by-the-seat-of-your-pants Christianity, and they associate those qualities with deep passion. That doesn't make any sense to me. Doesn't make any sense to you. The fact that we are not willing to be thoughtful and thorough in how we serve God, that does not show deep passion for Him. What that shows is that there are other things that get more of our attention than Him. And it is the person who is careful and thoughtful and thorough and focused and intent on getting it right to the best of their ability. That person is the person who really is passionate about God. Because when you are careful in how you serve God, it shows that nothing on this earth matters more to you than pleasing the great God of heaven. And so I ask you this morning, is that how you would describe your walk with God? Do you serve Him carefully? I want you to appreciate one more thing that Moses says in Deuteronomy chapter 32. Notice he says in verse 46, take to your heart all the words with which I am commanding you today, which you shall command your sons to observe carefully, even all the words of this law, for it is not an idle word for you. Indeed, it is your life. I want you to appreciate that Moses says, look, you're going to carefully observe this yourself, but you are going to teach your children to observe it carefully too. Appreciate that about yourself. If you are a parent, if you are a grandparent, if you are somebody sitting here who has younger people who are looking up to you, I want you to understand that the amount of passion you show in your service to God, they are going to learn that from you. And so the future generations and your kids, they are going to see how careful you are, and that is how careful they are going to be. And so the question you have to ask yourself today is, look, what do I want them to know? When they look at me, when they look at how I worship, when they look at how I read the Bible, when they look at how I study, when they look at how I try to do my best to fulfill the commands of God, are they going to see someone who is careful and passionate and wants nothing more than to please the God of heaven, or are they going to find somebody who just kind of says, eh? What will they see when they look at you? At the end of the day, God wants careful Christians. And at the end of the day, we all have to answer the question, does this walk with God really mean something to us or not? And if it really does mean something, if this really is your life and your hope in your purpose, then you will be passionate and you will serve Him as carefully and as intently and as thoroughly as you possibly can. Are you a careful Christian? Thank you so much for listening this morning. I very much appreciate it. I think there is one vestige of careless Christianity that strikes me more than any other. It seems to me that when we look into our world and when we look at what the Bible teaches about salvation, we see another example of how Christianity has become a little careless. You know, when we talk about how people are saved and what it takes for a person to be saved, we often, many people in the religious world, they have not looked very carefully at what the Bible says about that. In the book of Acts, if you want to turn to the book of Acts with me, Acts chapter 2 and verse 38, the Bible tells us exactly what we must do in order to be saved. And if we are going to be careful in our service to God, then we need to consider very thoughtfully and very thoroughly exactly what God's word says about what we must do to be saved. In Acts 2 and verse 38, on the day of Pentecost, it says this, Peter said to them, repent and each of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. You know, there are lots of people who look at salvation in our world today and they view it a little mindlessly and a little lackadaisically. They say, look, as long as you just say you believe in Jesus, then you'll be saved. Or as long as you say a prayer and accept him into your heart, then you're going to be saved. But that's not what the Bible says. The Bible says that when we believe in Jesus, we need to repent of our sins and be baptized in his name in order to have those sins washed away. And so this morning, if you're sitting here and you realize that you have not done what the Bible says in order to be saved, we'd love to help you do that. We invite you to come to the front and we can help you while we stand and while we sing.